This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, April 4th, 2008. It is a production of WILL, a broadcasting service of the University of Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
USDA released the Prospective Plantings Report Monday, and it was the quarterly grain stocks that moved the market. We'll talk about that and much more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with John Bondurant to Bondurant Futures in Memphis, Tennessee. Our panelists today in studio are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Monday, the quarterly grain stocks report showed fewer bushels of corn on hand than expected and a lot more beans at 6.85 billion and 1.428 billion bushels, respectively. That's what was in the bin on March 1. Next Wednesday, USDA will estimate what's left at the bottom of those bins when we get to the end of the marketing year this fall. How do you suppose USDA will show its hand in the WASD report? Matt Bennett.
I think it's going to follow right along. I think the odds are they're going to raise slightly the wheat and bean carryouts and probably lower the corn carryout. That's the way it looks at this point. And, you know, I think whenever we look at the carryout for the following year, if you do the numbers with after the acreage this past Monday, you can get some pretty interesting numbers. So I think that's where we're headed next week with the report.
Brian Stark of the Andersons?
I would agree that corn's probably come in a little bit lower. But beans, I think, will stay close to unchanged, surprisingly enough. I think the demand's been very strong because of the Argentinian strike in South America that we haven't seen that business pick up into the export market yet. So I really think that 140, 150-ish probably is where the bean number's going to come in.
And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I'd have to agree. I think that we are underreacting to the amount of beans been shipped out since the first of the month with the Argentine thing, with the Chinese coming in and buying more. So, you know, we are going to look at a little less corn. That's a given. The 107% hogs on feed, all hogs, is definitely their feed values out there for the corn is being used up in feed. So I think the corn number is going to go down. I think the bean number will be pretty much unchanged.
How was your reaction Monday, Wayne, when you saw the 74.7, 74.8 on million acres on the soybeans? Did it surprise you very much?
I wasn't really surprised that the number would be there in the end. I was surprised the government shifted that much at this point in time. And I think that overall, unless we see a really change in the market by the time we can get in the field to plant, that will probably shrink back maybe in a million acres.
And then we had an 86 million acres for the corn. Are we going to plant more corn than that, do you think, Matt?
Good question, and I think whenever you see what kind of price action we have here, it's pretty tough to argue that we're not going to plant more corn. I know with the insurance price on beans, it makes a person raise their eyebrows. A lot of people have told me, well, you know, I've got a pretty good guarantee on beans, so I don't know that I'm going to go ahead and switch over to corn, but $6 fall delivery corn or pushing on it is, you know, that's a pretty serious amount of money. If a guy only raises 140 bushel, 150 bushel, that's a $900 gross. So I do think some corn acres will come back, weather permitting. And also, I think if a guy has had maybe a little bit of planning in place where maybe he got his inputs locked in. I know a lot of people went ahead and prepaid their anhydrous, and then if they weren't going to end up using it, had a deal set up where they could switch that money over somewhere else. So I think if a guy's prepared, yeah, if the weather permits, he's going to plant more corn.
May corn this week, by the way, a high of 602 and three quarters, a low at $5.57. The May settled at $5.98, up 37 and a half cents from last week. December corn at 608 and three quarters, up 32 cents. Did you buy old crop corn this week? And what did they ask you about new crop? Will they put more in the ground here in East Central Illinois?
I think they will, Todd. Like Matt was saying, I think some acres will switch over. $6 corn raises a lot of eyebrows, but at the same token, with the weather being wet, or at least forecasted to be wet next week and possibly through the 20th of April, people are a little gun-shy at pulling the trigger selling anything yet. So it's been very quiet this week. I think the main thing we saw that we've bought is any producer that's got a given contract, a specialty producer, a seed corn guy, a food-grade corn producer has been a willing seller, but the cash crane guy has held off and waiting to see how this weather develops.
Wayne Nelson, my understanding on the way the crop insurance works is that it doesn't matter at this point. As long as you've got both insured corn and soybeans, you can plant whatever you want.
Todd, by March 15th, you have to have the type of insurance being like RIA, CRC, and the levels of what you have to have for each for corn and beans or wheat in the county. Whatever you plant, the acreage is determined when you plant it because coverage doesn't begin until something goes in the ground, except for the prevented plant part.
And tell me a little bit about prevented planted. I know we're a long ways, but when's that date? It's out there in June, I think. Well, does it vary? It varies across the state and the Midwest
that way. But, I mean, yes, we're talking down to the end of May before you're going to get into that as far as corn, but that is a 60% guarantee of your guarantee that you would get paid if you were unable to get in the field because of weather at that point in time.
You're about, what, 30 miles to the west of Indianapolis, is that right there in Crawford?
Yeah, we're halfway from between Danville and Indianapolis.
What are producers there thinking about at this point? Are they going to switch many acres?
We have a lot of talk going on, and there's a lot of highly considered acres of switching. I've talked to some of our customers that we could see as much as 5,000 to 6,000 acres switch.
Soy complex now, May beans, $13 the high this week, the low at $11.06.5, settlement price at $12.77. Up 9 3/4 from last week. The Novi's at 12.23 3/4. November beans up 64 1/4 from last week. Pretty good jump in the November beans compared to the old crop, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I was just looking before I came in here, and you know, we were down the limit on Monday, and then on the overnights we were down the limit plus. And in that time, since that time period, we've rallied the market over $2 from the overnight market there. I think it was a pretty impressive rally back on beans. And to be honest, yesterday when we saw the export numbers on beans, I was surprised that we had such a strong day yesterday. So I think the beans have been very impressive this week.
Is this the board trying to buy or maintain bean acres at this point, or
well,
is there something else afoot?
I would say that it's probably trying to keep that price ratio intact. Yet again, it's more important to look at the crop insurance guarantees if you have that coverage on. But the ratio still plays in traders' minds, and I think the NOV got a little bit overreacted selling towards the downside. And when corn propped itself up, I think it had to bounce back. The other factor I'll add is that we've seen some new fund money come into the market this week. This is the beginning of the second quarter, and there was talk of new fund money flowing in. I think that contributed to some of the bean rallies as well, if a big New York bank earlier in the week recommended buying beans.
Speaking of the price ratio, since we started the beginning of the year, mostly it was, what, 2.5 to 1? Now we're to 2 to 1, so it really hasn't changed. I mean, from this part of March, we're still looking at the market saying plant corn acres even at the end of this week.
Sure, but yet again, I go back to not just looking at the board ratio, but the guarantee on the crop insurance. And I think our customers to the east in Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, maybe the eastern half of Indiana, are probably going to stick with beans. Michigan, those guys up there that planted triple stack corn last year had 50 bushel corn where they didn't have rain, and they got burned pretty bad. So I think the areas to the east will still stick with the beans.
Wayne, the board says plant corn, but on the cash side, you can't guarantee yourself that. You can't get a bid, probably, or maybe you can. I don't know. What do you do if you're a producer and you want to try to put more corn acres in the ground, but you really can't do anything but a basis bid?
Well, I think there's two things. Some of the elevators are still doing some fall contracting, Todd, but of course we don't want to go over our insurance guarantee as far as contracting out there, even if they are available in the cash contract.
Well, I'm only talking about the extra acres, though.
The extra acres, of course, we've got that guarantee per acre on those that we can, you know, if we're going to put another 1,000 acres out there and our APH is 200 and we've got an 80% policy, we've got 160 bushels that we can contract and have known that we can have that replaced. What I was going to say here is there are a few elevators that will do that. If not, we all say these puts are very expensive, but if I'm going to switch acres over and take away from what be a properly insured bean crop, I'm going to say that it's time to spend a lot of money on some puts to lock in, because we don't know. We don't have to have $6 corn. We might have $7 corn, but that's why you use a put, because it leaves the top side open.
Matt, you're shaking your head. Yes?
Definitely agree. That's been our strategy all along, is put a floor underneath the market and let the cash run. I've been telling my guys, you know, if you spend 20 cents on a put or 25 cents on a put and it expires worthless and you sell your cash corn for $7, don't complain, because I think you're going to be happy. I think Wayne's got a great point. I mean, it's, you know, we got to do something with high prices in here, whether we use it to, you know, put a floor under the market or whatnot. I think we got to have to do something with them. Doing nothing is probably the biggest risk we're taking.
What do you think?
No, I agree. I think some way you have to defend these prices, because at some point, at some level, you would think that the government would step in and intervene. I mean, this is getting to a point where we could have $7, $8 corn, but somebody's going to cry uncle. It's already putting the livestock guys under a tremendous amount of pressure. I've heard of quite a few different people say that there's some big hawk operations in Iowa filing for bankruptcy right now. So the feed usage, the demand component, while yes, the hog industry showed expansion last Friday, eventually is going to show contraction, because these guys can't continue on this path of these higher feed costs.
Yeah, why haven't they contracted at this point? Are they? What's the deal with the livestock industry on
Todd,
that one?
The system is set up wrong in many of the integrated operations. The first part, of course, is farrowing. The second part is the feeder pigs. And, of course, the finishing is the one that takes the thing. But the first two steps in most of the integrated things are set up on production, performance, bonuses. And so they haven't cut back, because the more hogs they push through the facility, the bigger bonus the manager for that individual level gets. And the head guy hasn't went down and just said, slow down.
I suppose that takes care of the hogs, cattle, and feed. At least the numbers we see are for 1,000 headlots of 1,000 or more. Is the same the case there with the cattle market?
Well, the cattle market hasn't been hurting as such so far, Todd. They're not losing money on every head like the cat or like the hog people are. It's the hog people have been really under the gun. They're able to use some DDGs, and that helps a lot. And also, the cattle market hasn't been that bad. It's been close to 90 cents to a dollar all along, so they're still doing okay.
When you take that's on the livestock side. We can talk about some fairly large hog facilities, maybe some that are thinking that are not in very good financial situation. What about the grain elevators? What do you hear? I mean, how hard is it at this point to be a Windsor, Illinois, as opposed to the Andersons or ADM?
It's not easy, I can assure you of that. It's, you know, all elevators have got a pretty good size hedge position on right now, and I think that we all know that the amount of margin it takes to cover something like that is huge. I was just looking at, you know, our farthest out purchase that I've still got on the books, and it was end of November, and it was like $1.75 away from where we're at right now, and I had to carry margin on that whole time. So until you can get all that, chug through all that and deliver all the stuff you've got on hand, it's just tough. And then if your basis is wide, you know, there's just not a whole lot you can do. So it's a strain. It's a major strain right now for everyone.
Here's some of the rest of the numbers. Wheat futures, May contract, $10.15 for the high, the low at $8.90 on the week. Settlement price at $9.74.25, down 14.75 from last week. July at $9.91.5, down 4.5 from last week. May oats at $3.85.5, 25.25 higher from last week. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle, $88.50 for their high, the low at $86.10. A settlement price at $87.90, up 25 cents. April feeders at $98.60. were $1.82.5 lower from last week. And the April lean hogs at $59 top, a low at $54.95. Their settlement price at $58.52.5, up 42.5 cents. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with John Bondurant of Memphis, Tennessee, and Bondurant Futures. You're listening to Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's the Spring Pledge Drive here at the WILO radio stations. Time now for you to call 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or if you're listening online, to hit the top of the page or visit willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org or 217-244-9455. Either way, we're asking you to pledge your financial support to the station that brings you agricultural programming 6 days a week. And Ed Kieser, we are in our 20th year for Commodity Week officially now, I believe.
We're finishing our 20th year. The 20th anniversary of the debut of Commodity Week is this month.
And so for 20 years, more than 20 years, I guess we're getting ready to start 21, this station has been bringing you a weekly show that looks at agriculture and the markets for the week. Wayne Nelson has been with us the entire time. Wayne, it's been a good run here so far, and farmers have been really good about pledging their financial support to 217-244-9455 and understanding that this is really a partnership between them, the station, and, in fact, analysts like you.
Well, Todd, it's been a lot of fun over the 20 years. We've met a lot of people and a lot of wonderful farmers out there as we go out to the meetings and have the all-day outlook meeting at the Beef House. And it's just a real thrill to hear how many people listen to us and have enjoyed the program and have felt that we've helped them out there. You know, I've really gained a lot from this show. I've got to know people like Ed, learned more about weather, all the other analysts. Always, I learn something every time I come over here and listen. So just a real thrill to have been on the show, been part of it, and to get to know as many of the people out there, the listeners we have. And we really appreciate all their support.
Over the last couple of years, I think since 2003, Dave Dickey and I have been at the helm of the ag programming here at the radio station. Dave, of course, your director of agricultural programming. I work for University of Illinois Extension, host the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And most often we ask you for a $100 bill. We think that's a good place for our agricultural listeners to pledge in at. This time around for the Spring Fund Drive, the radio station's in a little more need than that. We're hoping that you will double what you've pledged so far or pledge at $200 if you get that opportunity. The phone number to call, Ed Kieser, is what?
The number to call is 217-244-9455, or you can call toll-free at 866-779-9455. And, of course, the 9455 spells W-I-L-L.
That's W-I-L-L, and it spells Big Will. 217-244-9455. This is really easy to do. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Should only take about 90 seconds. Of course, you can do it online as well. You do that at willpledge.org, and thank you very much for your financial support.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joining us now from Memphis, Tennessee, is the president of Bondurant Futures, John Bondurant. He's a speculator, fund manager who specializes in the grain and cotton trades. He's also one of the few fund managers who uses fundamentals rather than technicals to make his decisions, and he farms a pretty large number of acres. He's one of our favorite guests. John, welcome back to Commodity Week. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have you gotten anything in the ground yet there in your part of the world?
Well, let's see. In my farm in central Mississippi, I thought I'd finished planting corn a week ago, and then the price of corn got so high and beans went down. I switched a fair amount of acres. So then it's been raining ever since up here in Arkansas, or close where I am, planted nothing. I'd say Central Delta and South has planted a fair amount of corn. I guess you'd say they're for first planting. Now they're going to plant more because beans are down and cotton's down. Corn acreage is going up.
So, what's your switch on corn? How many extra acres in percentage?
Oh, I switched 1,000 acres. I was going to plant 900, and I'm going to plant 1,900.
And the rest of the crew down there will switch? How much do you think?
I don't know. There's a lot of talk of rice is over $500 an acre.
You know, that was one of my questions was rice is really
hugely
high price,
profitable.
Too.
Hugely profitable, and corn is extremely profitable, and cotton's not profitable. So I would guess we'll drop a half million acres of cotton into corn mostly and a little bit of wheat. I mean, not wheat, rice. And our trouble is it's so wet. We had 2 to 3 inches of rain overnight, and I'm sitting here looking at the Mississippi River, and you can't see Arkansas. It's just water from here to the levee.
John, Matt Bennett here. When you look at the switch that you're going to, you know, go through here, we're talking about a fair amount of switch in this neck of the woods, weather permitting. You doubled your acreage, so how does a guy that's you know, in a similar situation as you, or how are you going to attack this corn market?
Well, I sold all the corn I switched. I sold at the elevator at 45 under SEP, which is a horrible basis, but it was around 5.5 a bushel, so that's a pretty good price. Well, that's the way I handle it, but I have got an enormous amount of futures on for 8, 9, and 10 and everything, and I've been swallowed up with margin calls, so I've gotten to the point where I can't much go any more futures. I've just got to go to the elevators.
John, Brian Stark here. Kind of a different question. Just curious, since you have farm ground in Mississippi, I know last year and still to some extent this year, they seem to be kind of in a drier area of the belt, if you foresee. So how realistic is it to see them going back to corn where maybe some of the areas down in the south got burned really bad on yield last year?
Well, we had record corn yields because only corn basically we plant, well, most all the corn's irrigated, and we had record yields last year. Dryland corn in Louisiana, which plants a lot of dryland corn, wasn't so good. But we irrigated corn was terrific last year, and that's when I'm talking about switching. It's all virtually irrigated land where you would have thought you're going to have 55, 60 bushels of beans, you're going to have 170 bushels or so of corn, so. That would be the switching, and we're obviously not in a drought anymore. We got beaucoups of subsoil moisture. We just need to get out here and plant.
John, this last week we saw the bean spread of favor, being the long July, short November, become very unfavorable. Do you think after all the extra exporting that we've probably done because of business picked up from South America between Argentina and the Brazilian strike now, that the WASD report will show any of that pickup on the usage that they didn't have figured in for the extra stocks?
I would think they should have some, yeah. But if Argentina eventually is going to export it, and eventually when that happens, we're going to fall back. But you can certainly look at meal exports are pretty good, oil exports out of sight. Only big, big, huge drawback is there is no biodiesel industry. I'm well involved in it, and you're losing so much money on there, we'll be lucky to make last year's biodiesel use number. So there are a lot of different cross currents going on.
John, do you think that spread will narrow back in a little bit from what it's widened out this week?
I don't know. You know, how do you play the funds? This is all sort of a fund game, and they don't want to take delivery and keep putting carrying charges in the market. And I guess all of us that have been old-time traders find it hard to believe you have these kind of prices in the market and carrying charges. It's very odd. And that's strictly because of all these long index funds.
I wanted to follow up with that just a bit because in your bio, of course, we talk about you being a fundamentalist and using that as a fund manager. How hard's that been to be a fundamentalist as opposed to a tech trader? And I'm not even sure that the tech trader is helping very much.
It's extremely hard. I mean, how do you explain the moves we've had in just the last 2 weeks? I mean, it's just there's no way you can comprehend it. I mean, for instance, cotton went from 70 cents to synthetically $1.07 and back to 67 cents in 2.5 weeks, which is astounding. It's like beans going, 15 to 11 and back and forth, so. As a fundamentalist, it's extremely hard.
What do you think CFTC should do, or what should they hear when they meet in April?
I think the first thing is it seems sort of unfair to me that as a fund manager, I've got a position limit. Yet if I'm a long index fund, I have no position limit, and I get hedge fund margin. So I think at the very least, they ought to put limits on the amount of long-only hedge funds, or at least make the margin spec margin rather than hedge margin. And the other thing that really bothers me is convergence between the cash commodity and the board, and it's broken. It is flat broken.
Brian Stark again, John. I don't know if you saw it. It came out late in the day, but kind of in the same ballpark a little bit. But we've noticed in the last couple of months, because of the fund influence, or maybe not directly because of them, but the electronic trade in the day open outcry session, we've got differing closes. And I noticed today when we came out that they're going to start, as effective Monday, settling by the corn spreads between contracts. I think that's a good step. I just wondered if you wanted to comment on that.
I wasn't aware of that. Sounds like a good idea.
What do you think we should do? We know the convergence is broken. I mean, that's very apparent. What would your suggestion be if they called and said, what do you think we ought to do?
More delivery points or a better delivery. The Chicago Board of Trade delivery system is a horror. I mean, we can't deliver on it. So it's only the big boys. So I think they need to make more delivery points and make it more open to not just the big boys. You know, anybody that's got an elevator can become a delivery point, et cetera, rather than having to have a huge net worth and only issue shipping certificates, et cetera, which is very confusing. So I just think they need to broaden the delivery system. I don't know. How do y'all feel about it?
You know, I asked the Board of Trade about every elevator being a delivery point and whether they thought that would work or not. And their concern was that there was so much consolidation in the industry that the Bungies and the Cargills and the ADMs of the world would be able to control what that cash price might be.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. We've had the same problem in delivering cotton, and I own a delivery warehouse in cotton. And all of a sudden, it's so profitable to own a delivery warehouse that we have like triple the amount of capacity coming online that we did have.
John, keeping along the same lines, I know you hear a lot of people saying, hey, we could have $7, $8 corn pretty easily, and one can't argue against that right now the way things are going. What's the grain industry going to do? Is there any way of what do you think the impact's going to be?
Well, I think it's the old saw, high prices cure high prices. I think you're going to see To me, the shock for the whole industry this year is going to be the size of the world acreage expansion. I think it's going to be far greater than popularly realized. For instance, there was a deal the other day in Great Britain where their winter acreage of oats and barley and wheat were up 12% between them. You say, well, how can that be? And then it just said, by the way, the unplanted land is down 40%. In other words, high prices have brought in a lot of pasture land, fallow land, what have you, and I think you're going to see that worldwide.
John, we really appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's quite an exciting time.
Yeah, from here in the Midwest, I guess we hope that you'll get your corn in the ground, but I'm not certain we do.
I know what you mean.
All right. Thanks much, John. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Bondurant is the president of Bondurant Futures out of Memphis, Tennessee. A final word from our panelist in studio, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, I have to agree with John. This has been some wild times and some wild things are yet to happen. I think that we have to keep in mind that options are expensive, but they're probably the only safe tool that we have now that we can go ahead and use. And I think that you need to be looking at them and considering at what we are insuring as far as price goes.
Brian Stark of the Andersons.
And I'll add the same sentiment. And to place offers, make sure you have offers in place, because we know, looking at the bean market collapse here a month ago, that things can change on a dime.
And Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain in Windsor, Illinois.
I agree with both these guys. I think that if you protect your prices, you'll be able to sleep a lot better at night this summer, and you won't be worried so much whenever the bean price drops a couple, $3 all at once.
That's Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Be sure to visit our website at willpledge.org and pledge your financial support for this program, or you can call 217-244-9455. Have a good week.